Turn your Bibles this morning to Psalm 102. I intended to preach on the first 11 verses, and I am going to read the first 11 verses. But I made it through three of them, and that's all I had time for.
Amen.
And room for. And so we'll try to make it through three of them today, and try to pick up maybe again on it at a later date, Lord, if the Lord will allow us to do that. Psalm 102 in verse number 1, the Bible said, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as a hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread." Boy, I can't wait to get to that. "By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me, are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread, and mingled my drink with weeping, because of thine indignation and thy wrath. For thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass."
Amen.
Now may the Lord add his blessing to that. And let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that we can be in the Lord's house today. What a great blessing and honor and a privilege it is to be able to assemble together. I want to thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for giving to us the Word of God. As we learned in Sunday school, that we may through it understand the will of God for our life. Lord, that we may know how to conduct ourselves, and how to walk uprightly in this present evil world. That we might know you, Lord. Thank you for revealing yourself to us in this book. I pray now you'll bless during the preaching time, that you'll grant liberty and power. I pray for that extra unction today that can only come from the Spirit of God. May precious, precious souls that are lost and without Christ, may this be the day that they'd come to Thee, Lord, and put their faith in You that they might be saved. I do pray for those that are sick and unable to be with us today, and those that are sick and are here. Those that are diseased, those have problems in their bodies, I pray for them. Give us grace now and divine help. Brother Hall needs a breath of the Spirit of God upon me. I pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I've got a thought. I won't try to preach on it. I don't know how much I'll touch around on the thought that I'm going to give you. But God being my helper, I want to try to preach today on this thought of praying through stressful times.
Amen.
Praying through stressful times. Now, you hang right with me, okay? This psalm is a prayer. Far more in spirit than it is in words. That is, if you look at the psalm, you'll see that there's more spirituality to it than what the words themselves actually reveal. The formal petitions are few, but a strong stream of supplications run from the beginning to the end like an undercurrent and finds its way heavenward. Though the moaning, through the moanings and grief and confessions of the faith of this poet. In other words, there are supplications from this man of God that runs throughout this wonderful psalm. And through his groanings and moanings and sufferings, they finally make their way heavenward to the throne of God's grace. Aren't you glad that there is a throne of grace that we can approach? And we can approach it by a new and a living way, by the blood sprinkled blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not a prayer of the afflicted. It is a prayer of the afflicted or the sufferer. But to call it a psalm of repentance would be incorrect. He's not repenting here. And therefore, for the sorrow and the suffering of this psalm is more involved, is more in it than sinning. In other words, the psalmist is more in suffering than what he is in sinning. And he's not as much repenting for what he has done as he is asking the Lord for divine help in his life. Amen. In other words, he is trying his best to pray his way through stressful times in his life. I want to say to you right here that we're living in some of the most stressful times that have ever been upon a child of God. We're living under a great deal of pressure. And that pressure puts stress upon us. And we have to live under that stress. But I'm glad, thank God, by His grace and by the knowledge of His Word, we can pray our way through those stressful times. And they're not just located in one little single place. Stress, as I know it today, is almost worldwide. I've never seen anything like it in my life, but it is especially is bothering and troubling the children of God. We're living under a great deal of stress because we're under pressure to do right, and there's a lot of pressure out there that is trying its best to lead us and cause us to do wrong and sin against our God. And therefore, we're living under a great deal of stress. And this psalmist is really under a great deal of suffering and sorrow more than he is through sinning. Now, if you notice the first two verses, the psalmist gathers up a variety of expressions, all of the same effect. And in them all, he entreats an audience and an answer of the Lord, and the whole may be regarded as a sort of preface to the prayer which follows. In other words, in these first two verses, the psalmist is trying to gain an audience from the Lord. He needs the ear of Almighty God. May I say to you that all of our prayers do not get the audience of the Lord. In other words, He's not listening to everything that we have to say. But this psalmist found himself so sorrowful, so broken, so afflicted, so much in stress, that he absolutely had to find an audience or an ear from God. He had to be confident that God was hearing what he had to say. And these first two verses set that out in the Word of God. And actually, they're a preface for the entire remainder of the psalm. Now, the whole composition may be compared, Charles Spurgeon said, the whole composition may be compared to a day which, opening with wind and rain, clears up at noon and is warm with sun. But it continues fine until with the intervening showers all day, and finally closes with a brilliant sunset. Now I want you to get a hold of that for just a minute. Here is a man that is in great sorrow. Here is a man that is broken. Here is a man that is afflicted. And he's trying to get the ear of God. He is in that time of his life in the morning, as Spurgeon said, that began with wind and rain. He's having some hard times in his life. But he finally, the sun breaks through. And he begins to see a little sun, but mixed in with it, there's also times of rain, times of showers, times of darkness, times of cloud. But thank God, in the end of the psalm, Spurgeon says it closes out with a brilliant sunset. Boy, I'm telling you, I lived in Arizona for 2.5 years, and you're talking about some beautiful sunsets. They're absolutely gorgeous out there. But ladies and gentlemen, there is coming a day when God is going to close out our lives upon this earth. And it's not going to be, hey, it's not going to be a trouble to us, and it's not going to bring heartache. This life is going to close with a brilliant sunset. You just write that down. Hey, heaven is a wonderful place. And I'm thankful that my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm thankful that I've got a God that will give ear to my prayer and hear my prayers and will help me to overcome the afflictions, the stress, and the trials that will definitely come upon me as I live in this life below. It may be sickness, it may be pain, disease, sorrow, family problems. I don't know what it might be, but I'm telling you, God can help us overcome whatever may come our way by the grace of Almighty God. Amen. I know that's right. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. I want to say make one more point of observation, and then we'll get right on into the thought. One more point of observation. I want you to notice the title. If you have a Bible that's got a title, I think it's in our bulletin this morning. He says there, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. Now, somebody said, well, what's so great about that? Well, what I saw in it is the way it is written and the tense that it's written in. If you'll notice, it does not say a prayer of the afflicted when he was overwhelmed and poured out his complaint before the Lord. It's not in past tense. I marvel at God. I marvel at the grace of God. I marvel at the perfection of God. He put the title to that psalm, not in the past tense. It's not all inclusive. It's not inclusive only of the poet that wrote this psalm. But God puts it in the present tense, ladies and gentlemen. It's just as updated today as it was the day that he wrote it. And it's just as good for you and I today as it was for the man that wrote the psalm. Hallelujah to God. It's in the present tense. It's good for you and I today. That is a marvel of the grace of God. How God put that Bible together is amazing to me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And it is in the present tense. I thank God for that. Amen. Now I want to notice something here. And by the way, the Bible does remain update.
Amen.
It'll never be an outdated book. Some of them morons that want to write the NIVs and the RSVs, the ATVs and the HIVs and all them other Vs. They want to try to write another Bible because this one is outdated. I'm going to tell you, it's not outdated. This is the most modern book in the world right now, this Bible. Somebody said it was wrote thousands of years ago. Oh, yeah, but you don't forget, God's the one that wrote that book. Son, and God wrote it not only for that generation, but for every generation that would follow. That Bible is up to date for you and I today. Not an outdated old book. It's not antiquated by no stretch of the means. Well, I'm going to tell you one reason it's not. It's a living book. And it is alive. It can't die. And it never grows any older. And never grows any younger. I'm going to tell you why. Because, hey, it is the written word of the living word of Almighty God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You'll get a hold of that after a while. Now, I want to notice, first of all, in verse number 1, he says, hear my prayer, O Lord. I don't know how much y'all pray. But you're not going to get very far in your Christian life without learning to pray.
Amen.
The Lord's disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, without prayer, without prayer, we'll get nowhere.
Amen.
But he said, hear my prayer, O Lord.
Amen.
Now, what I see in that is the sincerity of his prayer. He was sincere about what he was saying. Sincere supplications are not content with praying for praying's sake. There, now come on, you'll get that after a while. There are people that pray just so they can say, I pray. That's not so with this psalmist. He's not just praying just to be praying. He's praying to get the ear of God to help him in a time of need. In other words, he knows the importance of getting through to the throne of God's grace. He's not just praying to pray. I mean, there's praying and then there's praying. I think Jude called it praying in the Holy Ghost. I wonder when the last time was we got on our face and got in that holy gear before Almighty God. Amen. And was praying because there was a specific need in our life. Hey, we pray like God don't hear us and can't hear us. And even if He does, won't help us. But I'm telling you, He can hear. He does hear. And He will help. Hear my prayer. Oh Lord, he was sincere. He wasn't praying just to be praying. There's folks that really desire to reach the ear, and only not only the ear, but the heart of our great God. Amen. They want to get a hold of the heart of God. Now I'm gonna tell you, friend, you touch God's heart. You touch God's heart, things will happen for you. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to handle things ourselves. Let go, turn loose, and let God take care of things. Come on now, come on now. Let God handle it for you. We're trying to work it out. After all, Brother Hall, the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, I don't hardly think that means that God saved us and turned us loose to do whatever we wanted to under our own power. We are to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Come on now. Amen or oh me. Help me out a little bit. How do you think Hannah prayed? When Hannah wanted children and was unable to get any children, and her adversary, the Bible said, aggravated her every day. That is, Elkanah's other wife. That's what happens when a man has two wives. Somebody say amen right there. Now, look, they always get in a fight. They always do. Hagar and Sarah did. They always get in an argument. More than one wife, always get, there's always an argument. Hey, what are you going to do about Lee and Rachel? They argued all the time. More than one wife, God never meant it. Come on now, God never meant it that way. One wife! I don't know why I'm on that, but I'm on that. Yeah, one wife! We're not Mormons, by the way. Hallelujah. We're Baptists. Now, what about Hannah? The Bible said little old Hannah got up there and got to praying. And here's what she said in 1 Samuel 1:10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Her prayers were more than just words. But hey, she wanted a child, a man child to give to the Lord. Hey, she was so earnest in her prayer that when Eli come by and he was so backslidden, there she is in such travail in her soul trying to get a hold of God and get from God what she needed from God. Amen. That Eli thought she was drunk. But get up, Mary. How long were you going to tarry? Get up and put away that wine. She said, I'm not drunk. She said, I am in agony of soul. Said, I want a man child. And all of a sudden, his spiritual attitude changed. Somehow, some way, God changed that attitude. Because God, all of a sudden, he said, the Lord hath heard thy prayer. And I'm going to tell you, hey, she went home and it wasn't long as she conceived a little boy by the name of Samuel. Ted, don't tell me. Hey, that woman was living under a lot of stress, ladies and gentlemen. Her soul was afflicted because she was being mocked every day because her womb was barren. And God heard the words of her prayer because they were more than words. They were her pouring out her heart to God. Have you ever poured your heart? I mean, just open up and poured your heart out. I know preaching on praying ain't very popular. I understand that. Now I'm going to tell you why it ain't. Because there ain't nobody praying. Can I tell you this? We were sitting back in the office the other day. Brother Steve said, "Preacher, said I've got to teach Sunday morning on the will of God in Sunday school." And said, in the prayer room every Sunday morning, said, we pray, and said, many of us men will close out our prayer. And Lord, have your will and way in the service today. He said, I wonder how many of us really mean that. Hey, come on now. Is it just words? Or do we really want God to have his will and way in the service? May I tell you that it's God's will for sinners to be saved? May I tell you, saintly, and don't get mad at me, it is God's will that we enter into his court with thanksgiving and enter into his doors with thanksgiving and enter his court with praise. That's God's will. Come on now. We really want God's will done or not? Are we praying or are just we saying words? Do we want what we ask for, or is it just something, a ritual that we go through? If it is, it ain't no better than Catholics that are praying beads. They'll get just as much done praying their little beads as we will saying our prayers if we're not praying from the heart and praying for God to hear us. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Buddy, I've been in some pickles. You know what I'm saying? You ever get in a pickle? You get in a pickle, you don't want out of it. You learn real quick how to really pray. If you ever get in a real pickle. I'm talking about something you can't get out of yourself. Something you can't cure, stop, hinder, get in the way. Hey, you just get between that rock and a hard spot, you learn to pray. Hannah learned to pray. Yep. And it was more than just words. It was sincere prayer. May I say also that, hey, man would be better off to die than to be denied the throne of God's grace. Yep. To be denied the mercy seat. Yep. Man would be better dead than to be denied the mercy seat. Come on. At least if you die, you're in heaven. God help us to live our life down here and be denied our access to the mercy seat of God. If you don't get that mercy seat, there is no mercy in your life, period. You'd be better off dead. Oh, but I'm glad, thank God. I'm so glad, thank God, that veil in the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. Hallelujah. And our Lord ascended back to heaven itself and entered in that veil with his own blood, hallelujah, and sprinkled her on the mercy seat. And he's made a way for you and I to come into the presence of God and make our requests known unto him with joy. Amen. You know why we can make them with joy? Because we know God's going to answer them for us. Somebody say amen right there. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen and amen. Amen. Now, I forgot where I'm at here. Man would be better to die. Here's what Moses said when Israel had sinned around the golden calf. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin. Amen. And have made them a golden calf. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. You know what he's saying? I'm going to tell you something. There was a man that had to get to God. It was imperative that he get to God. God was going to kill that nation. Oh, I'll tell you, boy, they owe a lot to Moses, ladies and gentlemen. Had it not been for Moses divinely intervening in Moses, hey, said, hey, I've got to get to that mercy seat, Lord, but I'm not getting there for me. I got to get there for them. And if I don't, I know they're going to die. If you don't save them, hey, just blot me out of the book of life. Tell me if you won't save them. I wonder how many times has it ever occurred to you, come on now, has it ever occurred to you how many times your man of God or somebody else has got to the mercy seat on your behalf, and had it not been for them getting to the mercy seat, you'd be dead today. You ever thought about that? Somebody said, I don't believe that. Honey, you better read your Bible.
Amen.
God told Moses, said, get out of my way. He said, I'll kill the whole bunch of them and make a nation much greater and better than they are.
Amen.
Moses said, Lord, you do that and the nations of this world are going to, they're going to mock you and say that you didn't have the power to bring them out.
Amen.
Are you listening? Amen. Buddy Moses saved everybody. You know what? Moses, hey, had to pray something besides just words. He had to get a hold of the heart of God. He had to get a hold of that mercy seat. Now I'm telling you, hey, it's high time some of us learn to pray. Amen. That's right. I know that's right. Now, not only the sincerity of his prayer, but look at the sorrow of this psalmist. He said in verse 1, the last part of that, let my cry come unto you. I'm not just saying words now, Lord. I'm crying unto you. I've got tears. I'm crying unto you. May I say, come on now, that tears speak a lot louder than our words most of the time. Somebody said, how do you know? Because Hannah's dead. Hannah never spoke a word with her lips. Only with her heart she talked to God. And those tears come from the heart, talked a lot louder than the words she had to say.
Amen.
I'm going to say we're not broken enough, bless God.
Amen.
About our problems, we're satisfied where we are.
Amen.
So what if I'm stressed out? So what if I can't handle it? I just won't handle it. What if we all felt that way? We'd all just quit, wouldn't we? But we don't have to quit. There's a God in heaven that has the power and the ability to help an afflicted man or a woman of sorrow or grief overcome that.
Amen.
Now, when he said, and let my cry come unto thee, that shows the sorrow of his heart. Hey, sorrow of heart, are you ready now? Brings an urgency to our praying.
Amen.
Sorrow of heart. What about old Nehemiah when those men came down from Jerusalem and he inquired about Jerusalem? How is it, he asked them. And they said, oh, that I'm telling you, said it's bad. Said the remnants that's left up there, said they're in captivity. And said that ain't the half of it. Said those that are there in the province, said they're in great affliction and great approach. Said the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down. Said the gates are burned with fire.
Amen.
Said we're in a bad shape up there. And I'm telling you, when Nehemiah heard those words, here's what he had to say. And it came to pass, Nehemiah says himself, when I heard these words, that I sat down and I wept and I mourned certain days and fasted. And then he began to pray unto the God of heaven. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Here's a man, hey, that sat down before he ever uttered a word and was so heartbroken, all he could do was pray. Oh, I'm telling you, verse 1 of our text paved the way when this man of great sorrow began to weep before God It paved the way for the rest of the psalm. And I'm here to tell you, hallelujah, when old Nehemiah sat down with a broken heart because Jerusalem that was in heaps and the walls broken down and the gates on fire and the people were in reproach. With a broken heart, they sat down and wept and moaned and then, hey, begin to pray to the God of heaven. You listen to what I'm saying? I want to ask you this. This is not my thoughts, but I want to ask you this. God brought to my thoughts. When was the last time you prayed for our country? I almost said a cuss word. I better not say that. I didn't say no cuss word. I just want to see what some of you'd say. But I'm going to tell you something. When was the last time we really considered the mess that America's in? I know we're Christians and we've got a conversation in heaven and we're citizens of heaven. But I'm going to tell you, we're also citizens of America. Nehemiah was also a citizen of heaven, but his city was broken down, overrun. Hey, when was the last time we sat down and wept over the condition of the church? We might as well, and confess to God that the power's gone, the joy's gone, the happiness of serving God's gone, and we're seeing nobody on the altar and the waters of baptism are not being stirred like God wants them to be. When was the last time that it broke our hearts so? And we got in such great sorrow that we, like Nehemiah, we sat down and thought on a thing for a little while. The longer we thought, it brought tears to our eyes. And we mourned. Have you ever mourned? Well, somebody said, I mourned at a funeral. Have you ever mourned over God? Have you ever mourned over your family? I sat in my chair this morning, Sister Gray, preparing my heart for this. I already had the message down. I just prepared my heart. I began to pray for my kids and grandkids. Amen. And oh, the blessed, sweet Spirit of God swept across my soul one more time and crushed my heart. Amen. Like a strong man could crush an orange. And I'm going to tell you, when it broke, when that heart broke, the tears like juice began to run out of my eyes. And oh, I beg God to pity my babies. May God show them mercy. I'm telling you, we're living in a real world and the devil's on a rampage and our babies are going to hell this morning. And it doesn't seem to give us, to bring any sorrow or cause us to mourn one bit over our family. We're so selfish, we're concerned more about ourselves than we are our offspring that God brought out of our womb. God, help us. And if I'm screaming too loud for whoever wrote that letter, I don't apologize. The way God made me, as far as I'm concerned, you can like it, lump it, hump it, jump it, dump it, or bump it. Don't make any difference to me, bud. It's the way God made me. Okay? Somebody, they said in the letter, said, well, Jesus didn't holler and carry on when he preached to people. I want to ask you something. I wonder how a man could speak in a monotone voice to 5,000 people outside without a microphone. George Whitfield preached to as many as 25,000 people outside without a microphone. And they say that his voice could be heard 1 mile away from where he was. You think he was talking in a monotone, low little language? Now, I'm going to tell you, if I can put it this way, when Jesus mounted that pulpit, he reared back and let her rip.
Amen.
But when he was out with the people, he was that tender, loving person.
Right.
Kind and gracious.
Yes, sir.
Spoke words of tenderness to him. When he got in that pulpit, he thundered the word of God.
Amen.
That's what's wrong with America today. We got so many churches that won't thunder out the word of God. Men that are afraid to get up and tell the people their sins. To tell them that whoremongering and drinking and cussing and gambling and the lottery, amen, and gambling slot machines in Kentucky is not for Kentucky. It's no good. I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll rally. They say, you know what they're saying? Put it in gambling. We got to have the money. You know what they're saying? The government's got to have money. And the government wants your money. What it's going to do? They want your money. They ain't going to do you a bit of good. Oh, what if I hit the jackpot? Well, I'm going to tell you something. You'd have just about, if I can use this word loosely, you'd have about as much luck as going out here and finding the end of the rainbow, bud.
Amen.
You ain't going to find that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Listen carefully. When sorrow rises to such a height that words become too weak a medium of expression. You hear what it says? When our prayer gets to the point where words cannot express our heart. The Bible said we make groanings, the Spirit of God, we make it groanings, the Spirit does, which make it groanings which cannot be understood.
Amen.
We do. We make it the groanings which cannot be understood. But the Spirit of God intercedes for us.
Amen.
On our behalf. And prayer can get beyond the medium of expression of words. And prayer is intensified into a cry. Then the heart is even more urgent to have an audience. To have an audience with the Lord. Here's what the psalmist said in Psalm 42:3. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? My tears. I've left off words. It's my tears now. I'm so broken and sorrowful, it's no longer words. I can't express my heart in words. All I can do is sit before you, Lord, and weep. Oh, God help us. Somebody said, you're a nut. I'm out on the right boat. Hallelujah. God help us.
Amen.
To be able to sit before God and weep. Oh, we're such macho men, we're not going to weep. You got it right, buddy.
Amen.
You're a hard-nosed, hard-necked, hard rock sinner that wouldn't bow your head and weep.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Big men don't cry. Big girls don't cry. I got news for you. Big girls and big boys all ought to cry.
Amen.
Good for you.
Amen.
Good for the soul.
Amen.
It's good for your life. It's good for those around you and your family and your church.
Amen.
Your spouse and your loved ones.
Yep.
Amen. Now, I want us to notice very quickly, in verse number 2, he said, hide not thy face from me in the day when I'm in trouble. The smile that the psalmist pleads for. He said, Lord, don't hide your face. I need just one little smile. Have you ever prayed and had the Lord to smile on you? Woo! Just one smile.
Yep.
Drives all the cares and sorrows away. Oh, just one glimpse of his dear face. All sorrow will erase. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to tell you, hey, what he's saying here, what he's saying there, he is saying, Lord, just favor me with a look of compassion. Just look upon me with a tender heart and with a compassionate spirit. Oh, and I'm telling you, it's wonderful when God does. When God looks down and shows compassion on his little children, his little sheep that are in trouble. I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. When God looks down and smiles, we know we've got a hold of the very heart of God. Yes, amen. Yes, I can run and take a lap. Yes, amen. Yes, we've got a hold of the heart of God. Hallelujah. When God just looks down and smiles. Woo-wee. Glory. Don't hide your face. I want to ask you, I want to ask, now I don't want you to tell me, but I want to ask you women in here something. We'll say you're a type of the bride, the church, and your husband is a type of Christ. Okay? How would you like him to walk in every day? And you say, "Hello, sweetheart, how you doing?" He'd go, "I ain't going to talk to me. Well, at least look at me." About 4 hours later, he walks off into the shower, takes a shower, crawls into bed. When you come to bed, "Honey, are you asleep?" "Honey, I'm sorry. Did I do anything wrong?" "I haven't done anything wrong. But my heart is broken. I'm full of sorrow. I need to talk to you a little while."
Amen, preacher.
Oh, sweetheart. The smile. I'm going to tell you, when the Lord breaks into that smile, bless His wonderful name, friend.
Amen.
God, I'm telling you, it makes my heart jump up and down. Twist, jump, twist over and roll over and do a double back flip-flop. Hallelujah to God. When I know that He's looking at me. Amen! I'm going to tell you what, I'm really going to get overboard now. Some of y'all ain't going to like it. Some of y'all ain't going to like it. You remember before you got married? And you was in the high school and you knew that little girl you wanted to marry. And you saw her walking down the hallway. And she knew, that you were looking at her. But you had her back to you and she was just smiling like this. And finally you called her name and she went, "You need something? I was starting to talk to you a while." "Well, not right now." Oh, boy. Woo! That's the way our Jesus is. I'm telling you what, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks be unto God. Wow, when He smiles, it makes us smile. Amen. And if we're smiling, we're happy most of the time. Y'all catch that after a while. I got to hurry. I've about one for some of you can handle it. Amen. Then he says, look at what else it says in verse number 2. He says, "Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me." Incline thine ear unto me. Hey, I'm going to take a shot one time. The psalmist said, "Would you bow your greatness? Give me your ear. Would you bow your greatness to my weakness? Would you bear your greatness, Lord, to my weakness? I'm so weak I can't help myself, but Lord, your present help in trouble. I know that you can help me now. Bow down your greatness to my weakness and incline your ear." Let me hear. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God, that'd make a dead Methodist get happy. I don't know. That ought to make Peter Cartwright smile.
Amen.
Amen. Now, he said, "Bow thy greatness. Bow thy greatness to my weakness." It says in Psalm 80 and verse 3, "Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." You know what I wrote there? Boy, I'm telling you, this is a major outline now. I wrote about the Lord when I said, "Turn us again and cause thy face to shine." I wrote down, "Smile, smile, smile."
Amen.
Lord, would you just smile at us?
Amen.
Cause your face to shine a little bit. Woo! Get a little of that oil of the Holy Ghost on you and cause your face to shine just a little bit upon us. Hey, thanks be unto God. Amen. Nothing wrong with a little oil, ladies and gentlemen. I walked in the room where Miss Hall was at the other day. She was sitting there and I said, "Honey, look at this." I done like that and I said, "Look at that coming off of my head. My face." She said, "Great day, you're oily." I said, "Yeah, that's the Holy Ghost working out of me."
Amen.
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 Amen. If we intend to overcome in these stressful times, I'm telling you, we're living in, we're going to have to pray in sincerity, with a sorrowful and a broken heart, and by faith believe God's smile will be upon us. I want to say fourthly, the speedy resolve that he expected. There also in verse number 2, he said, "Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me, not tomorrow. Speedily." Answer me speedily. Virgin said there's an old proverb which says, "He gives twice, who gives quickly." That psalmist probably knew that. Y'all think I'm done went crazy, don't you? When he said, "Answer me speedily," you know what he's saying? Give me a double portion. Hallelujah to God. I want a double portion. Give it to me quickly. Give it to me twice enough. Hallelujah. Over. Hey, cause me to overflow with joy. Pour it on me, Lord. Bless me real good. Amen. Have you ever asked the Lord just to bless you? I mean, just to really bless you real good. Just to overflow. I mean, yeah. Hit that overflow spout. That's right. A gift, listen carefully, a gift is always enhanced in value by arriving in a time of urgent necessity. Somebody said, "Preacher, what on earth are you talking about?" Well, we're going to pretend, I know what time it is, bless God. We're going to pretend like Brother Joel is sitting in his house. I knock on the door and Brother Joel invites me in. "Come in, Brother Hall. How you doing?" I said, "I just come down. Here you are, Brother Joel. I want you to take this rope." "Preacher, I don't need no rope." "You don't give me a rope." "Yeah, you need this rope. Take this rope." I don't. No value to me. I don't need a rope. But let's say 3 days later, Joel's house catches on fire. And a helicopter flies overhead and drops a rope down and says, "Joel, here's your rope." I wonder what he'd do then. He wouldn't say, "I don't need that rope." He'd say, "Great Lord in the morning, thank God for a rope.
Amen.
That rope just saved my life." What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that God will give us, amen, what we need, hallelujah to God, in a time when we need it the most.
Yes,
sir. It's enhanced. That's right. God gives us things when we really, really need it, not when we may want it all the time. Now, it's kind of like old Jonah. You know the story of Jonah. I'm not going into detail. Don't have time. Those mariners, because of the storm, threw old Jonah overboard. He said, I'm a Hebrew, and they said, and a prophet. And they said, "Here you go, bud." God said, "Mr. Fish, grab him." Down he went. And here's what Jonah said. "Hey, do you think, Jonah, hey, do you think this, hey, a gift," I said, "now here's this thing. A gift is enhanced by the value by arriving in a time of urgent necessity."
Amen.
Jonah said in chapter 2, verse 1, he said, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried," there's them tears, "out of the belly of hell, I cried, and thou heardest my voice."
Amen.
Do you reckon he was in a pretty urgent need? Have you ever took a, hey, it might do some of us good to get in the swimming pool of the whale's belly. See how we liked it, the swimming pool of the whale's belly. But old Jonah, son, he had to have something. He said, "Out of belly of hell, I cried."
Lord, I've got to have something now, right now.
And then verse 10 of that chapter, I'm going to tell you what it says. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry ground. Go spit him up. You think Jonah, hey, he needed it urgently. And guess when he got it? When he needed it urgently. When he was back on dry land and enjoying himself, he wasn't saying, Lord, out of the belly of hell I cried. He was just in the sunlight. He was laying down on Myrtle Beach with his Bermuda shorts on. Golf club in his left hand, you know, swaving it around, ready to go. But when he got in the belly of that whale, it's a different story, buddy. He didn't need the whale to puke him up back on dry land. But I'm going to tell you, when he got in the belly of that whale, he needed something urgently. And he said, out of the belly of hell, I cried, and thank God you heard my voice. And that whale spit him up on dry land, thank God.
Some Baptists used to say that he vomited him up. Jonah was so backslidden he made the whale sick in his stomach. Backslidden Baptist. Backslidden Baptist preacher, so he just puked him up.
Amen.
Now, listen carefully. I'll be down in a second. The stability that he hoped for. Look at verse number 3. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as in hearth. He said, I'm so afflicted. I'm so sorrowful. I'm so stressed out that my days are consumed like smoke.
Amen.
Like a puff of vapor till nothing is there. My days are just like a puff of vapor. They're like smoke. You hear what I'm telling you. Smoke doesn't have 1 ounce of heat in it. But it'll sure irritate the life out of your eyes. We found that at Brother George's and Miss Sandy's at the Weenie Road. You got in a direction that wind was blowing in, buddy. You got out of the way of that smoke quick. It's just like a puff of smoke. It's just like a vapor with nothing in it. When we are unhappy, hey, life is darkening and defiling. And it leads to depression. It leads to despair. When we're unhappy. And, ooh, I've pounded this and pounded it. Christ came that we might have life, that we might have it more abundantly. But when we're unhappy, it leads to despair and depression.
Amen.
When our days have neither light of joy nor fire of energy in them, they become as a smoking flax which dies out ignobly. Can't read my own writing. Ignobly in darkness.
Amen.
He said, Lord, if you don't help me, my life's just going to fade away into nothing. Nothing. His soul was ready to be blown away as smoke, and his body seemed likely to remain at the hearth. When the last comforting ember was quenched, he was still laying there.
Amen.
What he's saying is, don't stay in that condition until you're too far gone to get help. He said, I was like a vapor of smoke, just blown away, and just like I laid on that hearth until there was nothing left, till the last little glow was consumed, and I was consumed with it.
Amen.
I was like dust. Some of you in here used to have them old grates in your houses. You didn't even have a fireplace or a wood stove.
Amen.
If you let a fire totally go out and the ember just completely burn out, you know what's left in there? If you got the right kind of wood, pile of dust. That's what he's talking about. He found no consolation nor comfort. In his distress, he called on the Lord. Now, I want you to listen to what I read. Spurgeon said in the book. He said, no heart, church, family, or nation can die while true hearts are ready to die for them.
Amen.
Now, did you catch what I said? Your heart, your church, and your nation will never die as long as there's somebody willing to die for them. Your family will never die as long as there's somebody willing to die for that family. Your heart will never die as long as you're willing to die for your heart. You catch that directly. What a great God. Some of you in here have been praying for family members probably for years. May I say, keep on hammering the throne of Christ. There's a compassionate God that hears every prayer you breathe from your lips. Every thought that proceeds from your heart, God hears. And as the lady sang that song, in His time, yes, in His time, He'll answer. Like I said, He won't give you the rope till the house is on fire. And He won't vomit you out till you're in the whale's belly. And He won't give you that child until you're broken like Hannibal. He will give it to you. I'm glad God answers prayer. Are we ready to die for Him? If so, we ourselves can give stability to our own heart, family, church, and nation. If we're ready to die for Him. Now, I got a letter from somebody the other day, and this was not a letter that wasn't signed. It was signed. And it wasn't mailed. It was handed to me in my office by an individual in this church that's here right now. And I took it home and read it. And I don't know who the person was writing to. I've never been told. But they mentioned Titus in that prayer. And here's one thing they said about Brother Hall that I liked. They said, we got a preacher that preaches 3 times a week. And when he preaches long and hard. I said, praise God. Somebody feels that way. I'm going to tell you why I preach long and hard. I want you to have all the richest blessing that God can give you in life.
Amen.
I want you to have them. Let's stand together.